So I don't know if you've been following the news, but there were more layoffs at places like Lockheed Martin. The economy, the jobless numbers are going up. It's getting really scary out there. And I had my own experience earlier in the week. I went into Borders. It was on Thursday to replace a lost book for my daughter. And when I walked in, I immediately noticed that all the search computers had signs on them that said out of order. I didn't know anything, you know, and so I asked the person behind the counter if she could help me find the book I was looking for. Susan, I will call her. She was 31, bookish, kind of anxious, with blonde hair, a rectangular glasses, black frames, and a red Borders t-shirt. Anyway, Susan says that no one knows where anything is and that the computers are useless because there's some kind of sale going on. I didn't know what she was talking about. I thought it was odd that just because they were having a sale, that suddenly there would be no way to account for the location of books. So I search around, and I can't find what I'm looking for, and I can't find what I'm looking for, and I'm getting increasingly more frustrated that a store the size of Borders would not have a way to search its inventory. And so I'm just about to leave when Susan comes running up to me with the book I was looking for and says, "Here's our last copy. I can't believe I found it." Me still not getting it. I can be very thick sometimes. I thank her, and I take the opportunity to ask her why the hell the store was such a disorganized mess. After a long pause, she starts to well up with tears. At that point, I assume that I had probably been too intense, which is my way. And I say, "Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to attack you. I hope you didn't feel attacked." And she says, no, it's not that. I'm sorry. It's just that, well, we're all in a state of shock here, and I guess emotions are running high." I ask her why everyone was in a state of shock and why emotions were running high, and she says, "Well, haven't you heard? We're closing." "Really?" I ask her, still not getting it. I can be very dense. "This store's always filled with people," I say. She says, "No, not just this store. All the Borders, 399 stores, 10,000 people don't have jobs anymore. I'm one of them." Just like that. Well, of course, it made sense all of a sudden. The hooded computers, the lack of order, the welling up salesperson. I simply hadn't heard the news yet. I had heard that Borders was in trouble, but not that it was now belly up. And I realize that I'm standing in the midst of the collateral damage. And so now I'm kind of in a little bit of shock, and I say to Susan, "Oh, my God, when did this happen?" As if it were happening to me, which, of course, it is, right? Just like it's happening to you, just like it's happening to all of us. So Susan says, "Well, it happened 2 days ago. A Borders went up for auction, and no one bid on it. The liquidators will be here on Monday. They told me yesterday that today is my last day." "That's it. Just like that," she says. Then, unable to hold back tears, Susan blurts out one uncontainable, heaving sob and rushes away before I can see her completely break down. It was almost like a hiccup, you know, like... And I look to see if I have the book that I came for after she runs away, and I don't. And by the time I look up, she's long gone with the book. And I'm wondering how long it's going to be before she realizes she's going to have to find me again. And I have a real question. Will she come back? Is she too embarrassed? So I take a moment to look around, and I see now that there's bookshelves that are draped and various things have been removed from the walls and whole sections of the store are dark. I mean, this was a wham-bam fire sale, and someone was in a big hurry. No warnings, no notifications to the employees, just, "We're done, it's over, go home, see you, bye." And then call in the liquidators for Monday morning. No wonder everyone was in shock, and the vibe was everywhere. And so I'm standing there wondering how it's possible that I did not notice what was going on when I see Susan start walking toward me from halfway across the store. Now, she's smiling this time, composed, kind of shaking her head like, you know, what an idiot I am. Kind of like, oh, like she spilled coffee on me and she was now bringing me a rag to wipe it up. "I'm sorry," she says, smiling. "It's been crazy around here, as you can tell." And I can see right away that she needs me to see her put back together, you know? She needs me to agree with her that she's fine, that she will be fine, that I didn't see her cry a heaving sob and run away with my book just 80 seconds ago. So I say, pushing on her buttons a little, not really willing to agree with her at that point, and say, "Yeah, it must be really hard," I tell her. And she breathes and says, you know what it is? Scary. I mean, do you want to be looking for a job in this economy? And the way she says it, and the look in her eye, it drops in a way that makes a noise, you know? Like a really big coin hitting the bottom of an old-fashioned vending machine. Suddenly, I feel how afraid she really is. And I tune into the fear that's everywhere in the room and on every face of every employee on the floor, and bells are ringing in my head. Get it, Klugman? It's in your neighborhood now. It's everywhere. Welcome to the new normal. Then Susan says, it happened so fast. Just like that. It was the third time she'd used those words, just like that. And it reminded me of someone who'd been in a car accident, you know, where they say, I just didn't see it. I just didn't see it. It's like she's trying to make peace with it. She's trying to reckon with what just happened to her. And even though she kind of snaps and I'm fine now and smiles and walks away, I knew she wasn't fine. And she knew she wasn't fine. And she knew that I knew she wasn't fine. And what bothered me wasn't that she had inadvertently showed me her true feelings. What bothered me was that she felt ashamed of it. That somehow it wasn't okay. That somehow being completely devastated wasn't a perfectly normal and appropriate and necessary response to having your livelihood ripped away without a moment's notice. Because just like that doesn't mean just like that. What it means is I feel completely helpless and insignificant and out of control and terrified and of so little consequence that I'll never be the same person again. I'll never trust the world in the same way again. I will never allow myself to trust the world. And even if I wanted to, I know I could not. Now, I'm not saying that Borders is a model for what's wrong with our economy or NAFTA or any of that right now, because I don't know really what put Borders out of business. I do know that the publishing industry is changing so fast that bricks and mortar book outlets are becoming kind of dinosaurs. I get that. What I want to talk about is the way Susan felt. That because it connected me to the despair of millions upon millions of our fellow Americans who are feeling exactly the same way right now about losing their livelihood and having to face this economy. And how, Borders notwithstanding, our economy and our middle class is and has been under attack for the last 10 years, just like Congressman Grayson said. And it made me think of the smugness of someone like Grover Norquist, you know, a multimillionaire, and how he has been engineering a complete dismantling of our great society in favor of an oligarchy for himself and a handful of his uber-rich multinational pals. So I want to take Susan's feelings, not the circumstances, not Borders' financial records, but the feeling of terror and disorientation she felt, and multiply it by 1,000, 10,000, millions, 10 million, because that's how many of our friends, how many of our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our husbands, fathers, and mothers have lost their jobs in this country over and over again. 50,000 jobs a month for 10 years. Years we have been bleeding, and not because there is some mysterious organic force that influences economies through cycles of ups and downs. That's just the propaganda, man. Because what's really been going on is that ever since Reagan fired the air traffic controllers back in 1981, labor and manufacturing in this country have been under deliberate and systematic and organized attack from American corporations going multinational and taking their money, our economy, and the spine and soul of honest, hardworking Americans with them. And the thing is, no matter how many times they take the temperature of the so-called recovery, those factories, those jobs, those decimated lives are not coming back, because the people in control of this country don't want them to come back. We could extend them every tax incentive in the world. We could get them a pony, as Congressman Grayson said, and they would still keep their trillions of dollars in cash on the sidelines and walk away from this country because, and this is very important, the prosperity of our citizens is a power they are afraid of. They never want to be beholden to unions or government regulations ever again, because democracy is their enemy, because it makes them accountable to the people. And for them, that is bad business, and we need to get that. So how should we feel? Devastated, ripped off, thrown under the bus, traumatized, terrified, mad as hell. This is a perfectly reasonable response to getting screwed, to getting treated like you don't matter. But Susan thought that these feelings should be hidden, tucked away in her apartment somewhere where only her closest friends could see them, because somehow she thinks they are a sign of her weakness. But those feelings of hurt, fear, outrage, sadness, they are what make you strong, Susan. They are not what make you weak. They are what make you a human being. They are what make you a living, breathing, sentient citizen of this country. Not a corporate person, not a virtual, theoretical person, but an actual person with flesh and blood and feelings, real feelings that matter. Because those feelings that Susan wants to hide away are what give her life value and meaning and make it absolutely essential that she be seen and considered and treated like a proud citizen of a great democracy.
You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
That's right. Your life has value. And how you feel about that life, how you feel about it, has immense political power. Show your true feelings to the man. Show him that you care enough about your own life to say enough. Tell the man that the theft of this country stops here. Tell him it stops now. Say out loud, I am angry and sad and scared, and I feel manipulated and cheated and lied to, and I will not take it anymore. Those feelings are what we are going to use to knock the walls down. We need those feelings because the coming movement, and it is coming, doesn't need you to leave those feelings at home, in a drawer, in a closet, wrapped in shame and self-pity. Our country, our democracy, our people need us to take those feelings out into the streets and flaunt them without shame and proclaim them to the whole world. Because when the man sees that, he will shiver in his boots, because he will know at long last that the goose has no more feathers left to pluck. And so, it's back to what I talked about last week, that there is an unfinished grief in this country about the death of our democracy. And we begin again when we take responsibility for that grief, when we take responsibility for what we are feeling, when we refuse to blame ourselves like battered spouses and point those feelings directly at the power and set the streets on fire with our betrayal and indignation and a clear, unapologetic demand. Return America to the people or face our wrath. So, do you want to begin again? I do. Are you finished with the old conversation? The one we keep having on TV? The one we keep having on the radio or with monsters like Grover Norquist? Then where would you start that conversation? With a repeal of corporate personhood? A Green New Deal? A new progressive party? Where would you like to begin again? What is the first order of business we need to attend to as a reinvigorated citizen body? I want to hear from you on this. I want answers. 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. We will be right back with your calls.